Hey, gang. Welcome to the show. Welcome to National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network. It's RBN, republicbroadcasting.org, the home of free speech. Go there, click on the donate button, send a check, whatever. Also, go to nationalbugle.com, download the Kosher Certified app, because you don't want to be eating all that kosher certified food. I mean, come on, really? Okay, so you might be able to tell I'm feeling a little bit down today, actually. Well, actually, my girlfriend left me, so it's one of those things, you know. She left me for an older man, a lot older, actually. Really, really old when you get down to it. About, like, I don't know, like 50 years older or something. So you might have heard the news. Tulsi Gabbard, she's gone off with Joe Biden. I know. I know this. We had the same type of thing happen. Everybody's had this. You know, you have a girlfriend. You think everything's going fine. And then the next thing you know, you go and go into a movie theater to watch Gremlins, and everything's fine on the way in, but on the way out, well, you know, I don't know, something about the Gremlins. I don't know what it is. So anyway, Tulsi Gabbard, she's dropped out of the race and she's endorsed Joe Biden. This is a call-in show. It's 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. And we have our first caller. It's Pat from Ireland. Pat, welcome to the show. I believe you've got experience with a girlfriend. Kind of sad. Let's hear it.
Mrs. Doyle, yes, I have to go to a funeral.
Oh, no, really?
Yes, my last girlfriend. She died from exhaustion.
You can always count on Father Ted to cheer you up. Okay, I feel better already. In fact, I'm sitting on top of the world. So that makes me feel better. So, yeah, Father Ted, that's Pat Mustard, the milkman from Father Ted. And he has to go to a funeral because his last girlfriend, she died from exhaustion. So go to, I tell you what you can do. You can go to YouTube and click on the search button. Look for Father Ted Speed 3 if you want something to cheer you up. Father Ted Speed 3. And I feel better already. Hey, you know something? I might even give Melania a call. Okay. All right. So, like I say, this is a call-in show. It's live. It's live. Call-in show, 1-800-313-9443. And it's not as if there's not lots and lots of stuff going on. In fact, you've got, well, you had Angela Merkel, of all people. She said that Germany's facing its biggest challenge since reunification. No, its biggest challenge since World War II. And I heard that and I thought, yeah, World War II was certainly a challenge. But I didn't think she was allowed to invoke World War II in any kind of way that could be construed as being inspirational for German people. I thought that was supposed to be their big shame. But I guess they've got to come together like they did under their wartime leader. They came together to fight a common enemy. Is that what she's saying? I don't know. Anyway, it was kind of interesting to hear her invoke World War II. And I have a friend who insists that Angela Merkel is actually Adolf Hitler's secret love child, and has even produced a photograph of Adolf Hitler sitting with, he's sitting down, and there's a little girl standing next to him. Now, of course, Angela Merkel, when was she born? I think she was born, like, what, 1952 or something like that. And, well, my friend said, yeah, but Adolf Hitler, he survived the war, so this is probably taken in Brazil or Argentina or somewhere. But even if that were the case, then, and she was born in 1952, and in that photograph, she seemed to be somewhat older. So she wasn't an infant. So it would have been taken in 1960, and the Hitler seated next to her would have had to have been 70 years old, and clearly wasn't. So anyway, all right, we have responding to the bat call. We've got, actually, I tell you what, William, if you don't mind holding on for a second, I'm going to go to Sherry first. Sherry from Kansas, welcome to the show.
Hello. Hello, Dr. Slattery.
Hi.
I've heard things about the test for coronavirus being not that accurate. Have you seen any statistics on, I've heard up to 80% non-accuracy. Have you?
So, yeah, I mean, when the coronavirus first became a thing, and tests for it first became a thing, and in particular, the tests that they were performing on this, what was it, the something princess, the ship that had been docked in Yokohama Bay, Yokohama Harbor, and they were testing people, and those tests were maybe 50% accurate. They weren't very accurate. The test, they have different tests now that they're using. South Korea developed tests pretty quickly, and I think those are a lot more accurate. The tests they're using in the United States now, I don't know how accurate they are. But I think things are more accurate than they were back in January or February. But that's the best I can say.
Yeah, well, I still have this distrust.
Well, we all have good reason to have distrust. And it's a shame because, let's just say that the coronavirus is what it appears to be, or what we're told it is. If it is what it appears to be, then having trust in authority would be a very powerful tool in combating it. If you could trust your authorities, and if your authorities were saying, "Well, stay at home," or your authorities were saying, "Do this or do that," and you could, and everybody felt like they could trust them, and they were trustworthy. I think we could overcome this promptly, but really, authorities should have thought about that before they started doing all of, frankly, before they started attacking the and undermining the people that they govern. So that people do have a good reason not to trust authority. I still think that the coronavirus is more or less what it appears to be.
Well, I guess I've read too much about the biological weapons programs, mm-hmm. ours, England, other mm-hmm. nations, and
Israel.
And so
this could be a biological weapon, and then there's the question: whose biological weapon?
Well, but they're never going to, and we've signed those treaties. And I don't know if Israel's ever signed one. I doubt
Israel,
it
would not have signed it, no.
But
They didn't sign the Nuclear Nonproliferation Treaty. I'm almost positive they haven't signed any biological or chemical weapons treaties.
Yeah, but we have. But we still mm-hmm. do it. And I tell you, have you ever seen the stuff he was a Canadian, him and his son, I'll have to call another day and talk about it because I can't think of his name right now. But he was a World War II vet. He was with the Royal Navy in Canada. And he became a professor after he graduated and taught. And then he retired. And then he started working with the teachers' pension system. And he was helping teachers that were having a hard time getting compensation for early or for disabilities and stuff before they were retirement age and stuff. And, you know, some of the stories he read, he heard from people, he got to looking into things and found out that, you know, the government can do biological tests on the public without the public's knowledge. Just here in the United States, it was with the, if they told the authorities before they did it, like the, oh, say, mayor or county or something like that. And, you know, and he, the information in his books came from peer-reviewed journals and government documents. And, you know, and he uncovered a lot of stuff. So I did not trust these people, you know, because even though we signed these treaties, it does not preclude them from doing it to their own people.
Yeah, I know a lot about the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. I made kind of a study of it. The other treaties, you know, bans on biological weapons, I don't know as well. But, you know, international treaties, I don't think it would specifically ban domestic use of biological weapons. Not that the people in charge really care about laws, and in negotiating international treaties, you care more about what other countries are doing rather than your own intentions. So your own people, I don't know, but it does seem that we're talking about a real virus. This isn't something else. It's not make believe, or it's not 5G. Which 5G, I'm all against 5G, but it seems like this is a real virus that's going around, and we need to take real precautions ourselves, which are common sense, and those real precautions certainly aren't going to hurt us. And at the same time, keep an eye on authorities, because they are trying to use this. I mean, we've got the mayor of Louisiana announcing that she is claiming to herself the right to confiscate guns and ammunitions from law-abiding people, and the authorities in Philadelphia essentially legalizing street crime. I think San Francisco's taken similar measures. Basically, they have announced they're not going to prosecute so many crimes that are very, very common.
Do you remember the name of that town in Louisiana?
Well, it was New Orleans. It was the mayor of New Orleans.
Are you kidding me? It's New Orleans?
No, I'm not kidding you. No, that's what David Duke said today. He would know. That's his neighborhood. Yeah, it was the mayor of New Orleans.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Well, I'll let you get to William because he's always interesting. So
he is always interesting. Okay, thank you. And William, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, Patrick.
Good afternoon, so, William.
Do we have 5 hours to go over this stuff, or I guess we don't, do we?
We'll have to do that in a pre-recorded show, but why don't you hit the road running?
So, anyway, I mean, stuff is coming down the pike so fast, it's really kind of hard to even process this. But it was interesting. I had to take a break last night. I said, you know, you've been at this for like weeks. And so I was looking at some of my books, and I found a very interesting quotation. I mean, we've all heard the quote, "The first casualty of war is truth." And there's a big controversy. Everybody is claiming that this person was the first to say it, and no, this goes back to the Greeks, and on and on and on. But it was interesting that I came across a quote from the English writer, Dr. Samuel Johnson, and this was in 1758. And instead of saying the first casualty,
he's the father of the English dictionary, basically, right?
Yeah, he's a real character, really, really interesting reading, very good with the English language, which I I found very attractive, and he was credited with, you know, putting together one of the first English dictionaries and blah blah blah. But his way of saying that was, among the calamities of war may be jointly numbered the diminution of the love of truth by falsehoods which interest dictates and credulity encourages. And I thought that was very, I love diminution. You know, it's like, and I also like substituting calamities for casualty, because what really is important is, I mean, we know from looking at this stuff that, you know, there's a lot of falsehoods flying around, you know, but it's difficult to say, you know, how they're false. And it's really difficult to track down things. But it's interesting that he pointed out by falsehoods which interest dictates. So these falsehoods, I mean, it's one of those cui bono type of things. I mean, you really have to say when you're looking at these things, you know, who has a horse in this race? I mean, and who benefits? And what's interesting is, it's difficult to track those falsehoods down, because I bet you would agree that a lot of money and time is going into remaining hidden. You know, these interests, you know, you know, I know we both have very strong feelings about which interests are dictating these falsehoods. And the falsehoods can run under the cover of something that's real. I mean, when you say, well, nobody died in that false flag, well, actually, if there's some dead bodies, the false flag operation has a greater validity, and some of these interests behind this, you know, don't care about things like that. You know, they'll do anything to accomplish their task. So, you know, if we spend all of our time trying to, if you think I'm going to reveal who these are behind these false, you know, falsifications and obfuscation, you know, it's difficult to do that. But what I liked about Samuel Johnson's thing, he said, by falsehoods which interest dictates and credulity encourages. Now, we might not be able to, you know, uncover all of these interests, but we certainly have some control over the credulity, which is, you know, the tendency to readily believe something to be real, right, or true.
Yeah, so, yeah. So credible, incredible, that's it's the same root word.
Right. And so, you know, it's interesting that when we are overloaded, when we freak out, which is what most of this falsehood is, you know, falsifications, extremes, encouraging fear porn, all of this. It's basically to encourage that credulity and to keep us from, you know, dealing with it. And what is the way that we deal with it? Well,
we'll have to find out on the other side of the break, because I hear our North Korean diva singing. We'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. knowledge, and knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
Welcome back to the show, National Bugle Radio, with Patrick and William from Montana. So, William, you were saying.
Well, you know, like I say, you know, in order to deal with this, we need to take sort of personal responsibility. And this isn't what, you know, our governments have been telling us. You know, they basically have told us that sit back, there's going to be some changes coming down the pike. You're going to have to possibly give up a few of your cherished freedoms, what have you. But we've got this covered. And we're working on this vaccine. And the best thing for you to do is, you know, like the in the Bay Area, it's like they've said you should shelter in place. I've been watching, you know, like 7 million people are being, you know, said, you know, they're being told by the governments to shelter in place in order to keep the spread to happen. But if you listen to yesterday there was a whole bunch of announcements coming from various government agencies in the Bay, and also I hear Santa Cruz has joined the game. And it was amazing how they were saying, well, you can still go out. You can still go out and walk your dog and jog.
Better be able to.
In the parks, but make sure that you maintain the 6 feet mandatory distance of personal, you know, maintain personal distancing. And then they came out and said, no, we think that that may not work real well because, you know, we even in one announcement in Santa Cruz said walking, scooters, all these things are still something that should only be done if you are doing things that you have to do, absolutely essential, get food, what have you. And then they kept upping these suggestions on what you should shouldn't do. And they went on and said, you know, look, don't all non-essential emergency consultations with your doctors have been canceled. And now you're supposed to call up. And I heard this one woman said, and this is so great because now with smartphones, the doctor can interview you remotely. And she didn't go into the details, but I just started imagining, you know, like the doctor saying, you know, let me look at your eye, and you hold your smartphone up to your eye, and then stick your tongue out, and you hold the smartphone to your tongue. And then if you have one of these digital watches, you know, it can actually send real-time blood pressure and pulse to your doctor. I mean, you may not even have to call the doctor. I mean, if he's getting this, he can just sort of maybe call you and say you should up your medication, or maybe you should watch some comedy on Netflix because your pulse rate is way high. So the type of information that is being given to us on how to deal with this is really just off the wall. And one, I heard one woman who's some director of emergency preparedness say, oh, I wanted to qualify. People who are homeless are exempt from this, this order to shelter in place. But we do encourage people to, we do encourage these people to find shelter. And I couldn't believe this. I saw the video of it. I couldn't believe this. Like, oh, people who are homeless are exempt from this order. You know why? Because they don't have any shelter, so they can't shelter in place. But we do encourage them to find shelter. And I guess with her logic, it means like, and then when they find shelter, they will be under this directive to shelter in place.
Have you ever been in a homeless shelter?
I have. I've actually worked in a homeless shelter once, a volunteer.
Yeah, I did a little bit of volunteer work in a homeless shelter, but I actually, long, long time ago, I actually spent the night in a homeless shelter. It was the Home for Homeless Men, the Baptist Mission in New Orleans. It wasn't a very nice place.
Wow.
Yeah, this is a long time ago. But at any rate,
you're living high, Patrick. You were living high.
I know. No, I'd hitchhiked down to the Sugar Bowl or whatever, and I didn't have a place to stay. So I stayed there one night, and man, oh man, I wasn't going to stay there again because you are packed in. It's dormitory style bunk beds. And then you got these stray crazy people walking around, and I was young, and you know, some man making a pass at me. Some other man came to my rescue, and I thought, I'm not coming back here. And so that was that. But homeless shelters. If there's ever a better way to incubate the virus and spread it around, you get all the homeless people together in one place. And if one of them's got it, then they're all going to wind up with it because you are in very close quarters and you're not going to get those people to follow orders very well. Then you set them back out on the street again. So I don't know. I guess we'll have to wait till after the break to solve this crisis.
Yes.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. owner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hand seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
How would you like to earn an extra $10,000 or more a month from the comfort of your home? We show you how to win with a home-based business opportunity. This could be one of the best financial decisions you ever make. Work from home, full-time or part-time. Plus, you'll never have to talk to anyone. Our professional sales team closes all your sales for you, and you keep 70% of all the sales made. You could be earning money while you're sleeping, shopping, working out, wherever you are, day or night. Our system goes to work for you. You can make a great income without any special computer skills or sales training. Plus, you get paid fast, within just 24 to 48 hours after our professional sales team closes a sale for you. Let us help you eliminate your financial concerns. You could be earning enough money to pay off debt, buy a house, a car, or whatever the case may be. We've got you covered. If you'd like to add an extra $10,000 or more a month to your portfolio, and you would like to know exactly what we're doing and how we're doing it, go now to www.getstartedwithus.com. That's www.getstartedwithus.com. Again, that's www.getstartedwithus.com.
Welcome back to National Bugle Radio with Patrick and William. So, William, we've got this situation, which certainly is unprecedented in human history. I don't know if everybody's really fully grasped it. I've only barely fully grasped this. But so you've got a situation now where you've got, most of the countries around the world are shutting down their borders. You've got most of the financial markets completely tanking. You've got people all over the world staying home from work, schools shut down. This is a global phenomenon. All the massive dislocation, a massive disruption of human activities for it seems like the bulk of the planet. And then also you've got so the question is a two part question. One is this going to become the new normal? Because when you think about it, only a few thousand people have died. And in the course of human events, if only a few thousand people die from an event, whether it's a natural disaster or a plague or a war, a few thousand is nothing, compared to other events that we've had. It's the new normal. Can we expect more of this type of thing? And then B, and I want you to think about this, what's it done to what's it going to do to international relations? Because you have people, and unfortunately, Tucker Carlson is kind of at the epicenter of this, who are trying to stoke up hostility towards China. And now, Tucker's not the type of person who would call for war, but other people would. He has on Marco Rubio. He has on Gordon Chang, who is, I guess, the neocon representative to Asia. And they're all stoking this hostility towards China. So that's a two-part question. Is this going to be, can we expect more of this type of thing in the future, and what's it going to do to international relations? And to tag on one more, Russia doesn't seem to be all that much affected, does it?
No, this is a two-part question, but there's probably about four parts to it. And the first thing to say is
take your time.
This is not unprecedented. If you are a student of history, and if you are especially a student of histories that have been suppressed, I mean, such as World War II. I mean, the Weimar Republic, you know, when people were, you know, stealing the wheelbarrows and dumping the cash that was in it, the pile of cash that was in it, because the wheelbarrow was worth more than the cash. There was also a lot of people were dying of other things, like typhus. And so if you were in that situation, this would look like just another rendition. I think
as global as global and as simultaneous, because we've got China and America and Europe all shut down.
Yes, you have to understand that one of the things that we have that they didn't have back then is we have the internet and these little screens that we carry around with us. We even take them to bed with us. And so there is a nonstop glut of what I call fear porn, some of which is very important, you know, to understand. And so, you know, things are intensified. Like if you were in a house of mirrors and you anything that's going on in your life in a house of mirrors, you see myriad reflections. And it seems like that's the only thing that's happening in the world. Now, you know, many of these things, like the collapse of the markets, if you really realize what money is and what the stock market appeared to be and wasn't, is that, you know, did trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars disappear? Or were those trillions and trillions of dollars not even there? It was
so,
only
so, I mean, dollars, money is just an accounting tool.
Yes.
And the underlying assets or you know, goods and services hasn't really changed that dramatically. It's not as if all the assets or all the wealth or all the production has suddenly been cut in half.
Yes. That's true. And there's a lot of new construction down in the valley that I can look down into. I mean, these are magnificent houses. People from California, from Texas, and even wealthy people in Montana are building. We're just building this huge, huge houses. And I've driven past them many times. And I'm thinking, like, why were they building these monstrous houses? Well, if they looked at their portfolio about 4 or 5 weeks ago, they were doing quite well, you know. And now many of these houses, I mean, you have to make a decision. Many of these houses, if this is going to be another 2008, you know, why continue building the house if when you get it done, it's going to be underwater? You know, and people are smart enough to say, my God, you know, I thought I was going to have an $800,000, $900,000 house, and I might have a $250,000 house, but I'll have, you know, $700,000 in debt. So, I mean, this whole idea of what has happened, and if this is going to be the new normal. Now, what's interesting, you know, the relations, I mean, there is many things that have happened in the last 3 weeks that where we were being taken to the brink, where many nations were getting ready to face off with each other. And much of this, you know, the fact that it existed, the fact that in some incidences it was solved, I mean, all of that, nobody knows that those things were happening. And I'm particularly referring to the face-off of Russia and Turkey in Syria. That's a fascinating story. I mean, I had so many little documents that I was going to talk about what happened and who did what. I mean, some of it was quite hilarious, but, you know, and that's kind of hard to find something to laugh at nowadays. But I would say that, you know, everyone, you know, these unknown interests that dictate these falsifications, you know, they're not losing any time taking full advantage of this to do what they always wanted to do. I mean, if you see, if you would have, someone would have said that our government is going to restrict you to your house, and you're not going to be able to meet, you know, like here in Montana, you know, well, I moved here because a lot of people get together quite often to discuss what's happening. And those would be not here in Montana right now, but in many places, those types of gatherings are considered kind of illegal. And the governments have declared martial law in many instances, and they are starting, you know, like you said, there's even someone who believes, you know, that they can confiscate the guns under this thing. So a lot of this stuff is really, it's definitely a power grab by many interests, and the real interest behind this, I would say much of those real interests are hidden. You know, so we have to, I took upon a project about 4 days ago. I was going to write a 3-page document to send out to all of my friends, and I wanted to say, here's what we know, or here's what we think we know, and here is some of the best advice that I have found. And I thought this was going to be one of those all-night writing projects, and it's been going on for 3 days, and I'm nowhere near. But I did find some really succinct, extremely good advice, but I found that I really couldn't give the source, because the source is would be considered by many people, like, why are you listening to him? But let me just, you know, I talked on one of your other shows about the phrase that I see in a lot of news and television programs, commentary in Russia, the phrase "biz panicky," which means don't panic. So this person came up and he gave four bits of information, which I thought was incredibly sound. Like, again, I'll tell you who said this, or I'll let you guess. But the first one was keep calm, which is, you know, what's contained in that phrase, this panicky, you know, without panic. First thing is to keep calm. Now, everything that we've heard in the last little bit, I mean, if you want to panic people, hit them in the pocketbook and threaten them with a death by some invisible thing that they can't do anything about. I mean, that's a prescription for total panic. And so this person said, first, keep calm. And then he said another interesting thing, which is very interesting, and that is, do not shun traditional medicine. You know, and what I thought, that was a very good advice, because what are we being told? Well, we've got these amazing, you know, pharmaceutical companies that are rushing to market a vaccine. And boy, that's your last hope. If we don't put that out there, you guys, a lot of you, are going to be goners. And then number three is a little bit subtle, but very important. And he said, stop obsessing about what is beyond your control, as we are all mortal. And I was like, boy, yeah, if you can do that, that's a trick. But it was, and he prefaced that, he put a little commentary with that. He said, people are losing sleep because a disease appeared in China, a virus, a novel virus. They are afraid that it's coming for them, and they'll die. Don't be in a rush. You will die anyway. Don't try to die before your time. And then the fourth one, and this one is very subtle and I think is very important. It says, come to your senses and stop overthinking the problem. And I thought, how profound, you know, because when you panic, what happens? You get tunnel vision and you don't see everything. You see the thing that you fear the most. Sometimes it's based on your specialized knowledge that you'll say, oh, my God, 5G, and a whole bunch of other things. And what happens in that tunnel vision is you lose the situational awareness that in a crisis is very important. And so you have to keep calm And you have to stop obsessing about what's beyond your control, or, like I say, what's beyond your knowledge. You know, like if there's falsifications flying about, you can work until you're blue in the face or sleepless at night trying to nail down what's what. But what you need to do is come to your senses and stop overthinking the problem. And I thought those four things was just amazing. And then, as an added extra, he said, look, those who are in sound health will overcome even the coronavirus. Those who are not won't. So he said, that's something you can do. You can actually try to improve your immune system and your overall health, which unfortunately requires that you get some good sleep. And he said, that's if you really want to do something that you can do, not waiting for the governments to solve your problem, that's something you do. And then he went farther down and just gave a prescription. He said, mix lemon with honey and water and drink, then the virus won't get you. Also, eat your garlic. Now, that sort of floored me because I do drink a lot of organic lemon juice and water. I skipped the honey, but recently, under the circumstances, I've been adding a little half teaspoon of raw organic Manuka honey, and I do eat garlic. I use a lot of raw garlic in soups and stuff like that. And so I was like, whoa, who is this guy? Well, unfortunately, I found out who the guy was. I kind of knew who he was. But I couldn't add this to my letter, or I didn't think I could, because who do you think the author of this was? Any guesses?
Do I have any guess? I mean, when you were, most of the time you were talking, I was thinking, well, Vladimir Putin is the source of all wisdom on earth, so it must be him. But
I agree with you. I agree with you, but this is a little bit more.
I can't imagine him saying some of those things towards the end, not because they're not reasonable things, but just because it's not what a president of the Russian Federation would probably be saying. Who is it?
It is Ramzan Kadyrov, the head of the Chechen Republic.
A most controversial person.
I mean, just mention his name. I'm really on some list for even, you know, thinking to pay any attention to what he said, if you know all the gory stuff about him. But of all the things I heard, I had that in my letter, my three-page letter, of saying, listen to some of these things. Because what happens, you know, if you don't keep calm, you get sick. You know, the immune system is very sensitive to stress. I've talked to a lot of doctors who are friends of mine, and they said, if you can't control panic, no matter what you get, if you can't control panic and find some way to quell those anxieties, your prognosis is not very good.
You know, we've had a couple of conversations about this, and I certainly haven't jumped to conclusions about what I think happened, because I don't know what happened. What I have done is I pretty early on stopped going to classes and some gatherings, at first especially ones that would have Chinese people, but then basically I've been, doing the self-isolation, which isn't too hard for me. And I got family members to work from home or to stop going to classes, stop going to school a bit earlier than most, you know, other people. But I haven't been stressing. In fact, I've been kind of excited at the opportunity to catch up on a lot of stuff at home, to clear out my basement and to get on some projects that I've been wanting to do for a long time. And I'm actually kind of excited about it. Not that I welcome it. But why let a perfectly good crisis go to waste?
Yes, and the thing is that one of the things that this does do is it has really clarified what is important to you. I mean, this can be a real wake-up call of saying, what have I been doing all this time? And what should I, maybe I should modify some of my behaviors. You know, when I came
Montana, we got the music playing, but we'll be right back.
Thank you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future. Welcome back to the show, National Legal Radio, with Patrick Slattery and William from Montana. Okay, so this is our last segment. We just have a few minutes left. So what is important to you? How do you want to wind this up, William?
Well, I came to Montana. We came to Montana nearly 9 years ago, and we were seeking out. We were living on the West Coast in Portland, Oregon, and I woke up one night and I said, "We got to get away from here." This what has happened was not something that I didn't believe was going to happen. Not the details, but the fact that all these things. There was a lot of indicators that things were going to end up this way, you know, for whatever reason. And the real shock was that I thought this was going to happen in 2011, and here I am, and I was caught off guard. Just think of what has happened in the last 3 weeks. I mean, that's, we'll get your head, like, spinning. And so, one of the good things is that we're here, in Montana, where there's like a, you know, it's the fourth largest state, and it has just over, just barely over a million people. And most of those are concentrated in, you know, one big valley. So I would say that, you know, one of the things to remember, and this is what I, this is almost blasphemy, but Patrick, this too shall pass. And maybe a lot faster than people think. Now that there's a thing that I have to add to that.
Mm-hmm.
If this is just a virus, I mean, if this is just a virus, you know, with the warming weather, you know, wouldn't that be ironic that global warming will save us?
Yeah. Just, so, and it doesn't seem to have been very big in tropical countries, but also it really hasn't spread much in Russia, has it?
No, I mean, I was looking at the data. I have that a big section about, you know, Russia has something like 192. I mean, it changes all the time. They have, you know, about 18 confirmed recoveries. But, I mean, when you consider that they share this long border with two of the biggest coronavirus outbreaks, China especially. And,
China and Europe.
And Europe, and also, you know, Iran.
Iran, of course.
They have, you know, like under 200. Now, in Skokomish County, north of Seattle, there's like double that. There's 400 and some cases. There's like 1,200 in Washington State. So how did that happen? Well, that's a big story. But, I mean, one of the things that Mishutin did was he closed that border in China, like, immediately. And people were saying, you can't do that. I mean, we have really close relationships, and some of these business people really have to get to. They've made big investments.
Mishutin being the brand new prime minister under
Mikhail Mishutin. He closed that, and even people in his office said, but there are people on the trains. They paid their money. He said, forget it. Those trains are not coming in. And so that type of foresight and action really made a big difference in what they didn't have happen to their country. Thank you a lot, Patrick.
Hey, thank you, William.
Good luck to you. Eat your garlic.
I'll eat my garlic, and I'll listen to my father, Ted, and cheer up. And I'll be back again tomorrow with Mark Dankoff for another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.